Well, Ephesians chapter 6, if you would, please. And looking at a very familiar passage of Scripture, beginning in verse 10 through verse 20, here in Ephesians in chapter 6. And last week we talked about the God of truth. And I was just sitting and thinking about that, and I think I'm going to continue those types of messages talking about the characteristics of God on Sunday evenings. But I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, it's good to know God and understand Him, but it's also good to know and understand the enemy and our adversary. You know, in our churches, it seems like in this day and age, there's a lot of emphasis on salvation, which, of course, is very important, and about the Christian life and Christian living and, you know, things like that, and biblical principles to live our lives and to follow by them, etc. But there's not a whole lot of preaching on sin and on the devil. And, you know, there needs to be some of that in there. Now, I don't think we ought to hit on that particularly every particular service. But we do need to probably mention it and explain it more often than we do. Because we need to know what to watch out for. What to look out for. So with that said, please stand if you are physically able out of love and respect for God's word. I'd like you to read with me on the even verses, and we will begin on an even verse in verse 10. And I'll read the odd verses by myself, for I alone am odd in this room. All the rest of you are nice and balanced individuals, very, very lovely people that are standing before me here today. So let's begin together in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. In verse 10 and 11, Paul talks to the Ephesians and says, hey, listen, finally, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He says, put on the whole armor of God. And you understand that these are good encouragements. He says, hey, you need to be strong in the Lord and you need to stand in the power of His might. And certainly we've talked about that. We've even talked about putting on the whole armor of God. And then he gives the reason, and he says in the rest of verse 11, he says that ye may be able to stand. What does that mean if you're going to tell somebody that if you do these things, you may be able to stand? What is that talking about? That there's going to be some opposition, and that opposition could knock you over. Right? I mean, right? Isn't that what it's talking about? He doesn't say that that you're going to stand, that you'll not be toppled over, and you'll not be undone or uprooted from your position and your stance. He says that ye may be able to stand. So you understand that this is not something that's going to be so easy to overcome. How many of you would be willing to go into an area where there is a lion? Huh? Yeah, I mean, just, you know, you're at the zoo, you're just going to hop the fence and say, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Right? I mean, how many of you are willing to do that? Because I want to know what kind of guts you have. Well, we'll find out really soon what kind of guts you have. Sorry, I couldn't help that. Right. Yeah, my goodness. No, we're not going to do that. The devil is what? He's a roaring lion. Seeking whom he may devour. Folks, he's an adversary. He's no kitty cat. Right? He is a formidable adversary. Now, we've already talked about that in time past. And I'm not going to focus on the strength that he has or the ability that he has. But I want to focus on what it says here in the rest of verse 11. We're to be strong in the Lord. We're to be in the power of His might. We're to put on this whole armor of God that Paul goes on to explain in these verses, in verses 13 through 18. And those are all very significant things, and we may go through them one by one in the near future. But he makes a mention of something we need to pay attention to. He says, be strong in the Lord. He says, and in the power of His might. And he says, put on this whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand, that you can, as later on he says, withstand in the evil day. So this is going to be a serious thing that's taking place. What is this serious and powerful and difficult thing? He says it's against the wiles of the devil. Now, I think that's kind of appropriate that we talk about wiles, living in Wiley. Right? Now, I don't know if that has anything to do with the name of the city. I haven't studied the history of this city. Maybe it was a tricky city. Okay? But the word wile, and that's not W-H-I-L-E, by the way. Okay? There's a different while. That's a duration of time, right? This is a trick or strategy. All right? This is a trick or strategy practiced for ensnaring or deception. That's what a wile is. Now, if you've ever come across something like this before, what is it about this that causes the difficulty? It's good. It's good. It's something that will trick you. You may have been tricked before. And guess what? It was believable, wasn't it? Huh? Sure. Listen, a trick or strategy practiced for ensnaring or deception. A sly or treacherous device. Listen, these are things that can make you fall. He says that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So these are not things that are just, we don't have to worry about those. They're not going to fool me. Oh, yeah? Can I tell you something? If you take a look through this book, the devil has fooled and tricked and planned a strategy for and succeeded in much better people than we. Oh, yes. We go through and we kind of roll our eyes at all the things that Peter did and failed at. Anybody here want to volunteer that they're better than Peter? Probably not. Or how about King David, King of Israel, a man after God's own heart. Anybody want to put their life's resume up to his and say, oh, yeah, I've done a better job than he did. Or I'm a better Christian than he was. Probably not. You understand that the devil is tricky. He appears as an angel of light. He's a deceiver. He is someone who is good at it. He's very practiced. He has a strategy, a plan for the purpose of deception, for the purpose of ensnaring, to be treacherous in his workings amongst the people of God. This is not a playtime. This is a battle. This is a difficulty. So what are some of these wiles? We're going to, with the time that we have this morning, we're going to go through a few of these things and look at them and find out what makes these things so difficult. Take your Bibles, if you'd like, and turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And if you'd like to just listen, that's just fine as well. Some people may focus better just listening instead of trying to read through these things. But I want you to see that in Scripture, if you'd like to look at that. In John chapter 8 and verse 39. The first wile we're going to discuss is that of the ever simple lie. L-I-E, little lie, never hurt anybody, right? Little white lies, they're innocent, right? This is one of the number one wiles that the devil uses, is the little old lie. Look at verse 39, here in John chapter 8. It says here, Jesus speaking, of course, and it says, then they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Now, we've already studied about the nature of God. That he's a God of truth. And the Bible clearly tells us that God, who cannot lie, it is impossible for God to lie. Because if he ever did, he would cease to be God. You understand that? So, where does this wile, this thing, come from? Anybody? The devil. He's the father of it. A lie is the opposite of the truth. You understand that this falsehood, uttered for the purpose of deception, is intentional. It's not, oh, I just misspoke. No. Or this one here. This is very common in our world today. We say something and then we say, just kidding. Right. No, that's a lie. You say, well, it was a half truth. When concerning truth, it's all or nothing, folks. No, half truth. Oh, it's just a little white lie. It won't hurt anyone. No, it's a falsehood. It's intentional. It's something that's designed for the purpose of deception. What is the devil trying to accomplish? Deception. What is he trying to deceive people into doing? Turning from God. Does he want people to believe in God? No. Does he want people to follow God? No. Does he want people to go after God and to accomplish the things of God? No. He wants to deceive them, draw them away from God. And how's he going to do that? By a falsehood. By a falsehood. He's going to lie. Why is he going to lie? Because he's a liar. He's a liar. There is no truth in him. He's the father of it, as God tells us here in Scripture. In 1 John chapter 2, the Bible says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." He was writing this way back. So for almost 2,000 years now, there have been antichrists in this world. Everybody understands the idea of an antichrist. Okay? It's what? Against Christ. The opposite, right? It's not Christ. It's a deception. So now we have this. It says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth." No lie is of the truth. Now, what does that establish? That establishes that the devil, who is the father of lies, there is no truth in him. And no lie is of the truth. He says, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?" He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Do you know what? When we talk about the Word of God and the purity of it, that it is the truth. Anything that is not what this is a lie. It's a lie. It's not the truth. You say, "Well, it's mostly true." Then it's a lie. You see how simple this is. It either is or it isn't. God says that this thing about the devil, that no lie is of the truth. You see, the devil is an antichrist. He's trying to deceive. He's doing it treacherously. He's trying to ensnare. And he's using a trick or a strategy for the purpose of deception, an intentional violation of the truth. You say, "How bold is this devil? How bold are these wiles?" It's intentional. He's trying to do it. He is going after Christians. He's going after people. He's trying to keep people in darkness with lies. It's a wile of the devil. You say, "Well, lying is not that bad." Let's see here. Revelation 21 and verse 8. Y'all know this one? Interesting. Revelation in chapter 21 See, all this thing about lies, it's not so bad. In verse 8 it says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Hey, they're lumped in with all these other people that we think are really bad. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer this. Just answer it inside of yourself. Anybody in here ever tell a lie? Hey, I could even get a little more close to you. Anybody in here ever tell a lie in the last week? It's natural for us, isn't it? That's why we're supposed to put on the whole armor of God. Then we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then that shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the work of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Hey, folks, listen. These lies are not just something to be discarded. They're not just something to be overlooked. They're not just something to say, oh, a lie, oh, that's no big thing. It is a big thing. It's a wile of the devil. It's a trick. It's something we need to watch out for and protect ourselves from. The truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth is what we need in our lives. We have a God that we serve, the God of truth, that we need to hold to. You understand that we need to stand firm to be able to withstand the lies of the devil. You say, oh, that doesn't happen to good Christians. That doesn't happen to people that are following after God. Hey, listen, in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4, the church is blowing and going. There are people being saved. They are being discipled. They're being taught doctrines. They're gathering together from house to house. They're sharing things one with another. They are just on fire for God. And two Christians are fooled and tricked and deceived by a strategy of the devil. Remember this? A certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it. and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? It can happen to anybody, folks. It can happen to anybody. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? See, it's a wile of the devil. Maybe Ananias and Sapphira were not doing what they should be doing in the matter of being strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Maybe they didn't put on the whole armor of God. Maybe they forgot that shield of faith and one of those fiery darts just kind of got right through. Caused them to lie. And who filled their heart with this lie? Satan did. Satan did. He's an adversary. And a lie is one of the wiles of the devil. In Psalm 58, David said, do ye indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do ye judge uprightly, O ye sons of men? Yea, in heart ye work wickedness. Ye weigh the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming ever so wisely. Break their teeth, O God. In their mouth break out the great teeth of the young lions. O Lord, let them melt away as waters which run continually. When he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be as cut in pieces, as a snail which melteth. Let every one of them pass away, like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judgeth in the earth. You understand that this thing of lies is more than meets the eye. We consider it a very innocent thing, a very simple thing. Oh, I don't need to worry about that. See, that's a deception. It's a wile of the devil. He makes it appear as not so bad, as not so difficult, as not so destructive and dangerous. Oh, but oh, how it is. Remember what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 6? These six things doth the Lord hate. You got to pay attention in Scripture when it says that God hates something. What does he hate? A proud look. A lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. Why is lying mentioned twice in this list? You ever notice that? Lying is mentioned twice in these things that God hates. You know what? Murder is mentioned once. Right? Sowing discord among the brethren is once. Feet that be swift to mischief is once. A proud look once. A heart that devises wicked imaginations, that's once. And lying twice. Huh.
You think it's a big deal? Yeah, it's a big deal. Now, lies is just one of the wiles of the devil. Let's look at another one. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. What's another wile of the devil that we need to watch out for? That we need to be aware of and make sure we do not just dismiss it. Like, oh, that's nothing. That's nothing to be concerned with. It's just a little thing. No, it's a big thing. In Genesis chapter 3 in verse 1, as far as scripture goes, we're given an introduction to this adversary, the devil. And what is one of the first things that God says about this being? Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. Now that word subtle is important because it's a wile of the devil. You know what subtlety is? It is slyness, cunning, craftiness, and deceitfulness planned by an artful, insinuating design. That's amazing. It's something sly, cunning, crafty, insinuating, but it's artful. It has a significance to it. It has a flow to it. It has a beautiful covering. But yet underneath, it's death and destruction and defeat. But it looks so good. Yeah, that's what subtlety is. He is more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, did you notice here that it's a half-truth? Because what did God say? Could they eat of every tree of the garden? No. All but one. You say, well, that's mostly true. That's 99.99999999% true. I mean, how many trees were in the garden? Millions? Thousands? I don't know. And you could only not eat of one? So God said you could eat of every tree, right? Subtlety, folks. Subtlety. It's artful. It's cunning. It's crafty. It's insinuating. It sounds good. If it sounds so good to be true, it's probably not. Hey, be careful. He's more subtle than any beast of the field. The devil's enticing, folks. It sounds good, but it's not. In Acts chapter 13, in verse 7 through 12, it says, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, so that's the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. What's he trying to do? To keep this man lost and undone in darkness. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist of darkness, a mist and a darkness. And he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. What was keeping this deputy in darkness, in not knowing Christ? Subtlety. Subtlety. This sly, artful, cunning, crafty, and insinuating, deceitful plan of the devil. Who is this man working for? The devil. What was he trying to do? Keep someone from seeing the truth of God in Jesus Christ. He's subtle. Remember this example in Scripture? But Amnon, had a friend. I don't know if I'd start that way. Because that's no friend. You study Jonadab? He wasn't Amnon's friend. You know what Jonadab was? He was a very subtle man. You know what he did? He played on the passions of his friend to deceive him and cause him to do an unspeakable wickedness. You know what the devil does? Oh, it's not that bad. Yea, hath God said. Oh, God's just trying to keep you from fun, young people. He's trying to keep you from experiencing the wonderful things of this world. He doesn't want you to be able to eat of every tree of the field. Because he knows it'll make you wise. It'll make you as gods. He's subtle. That's one of the wiles of the devil. In Proverbs, Solomon goes through a very long list and expression. It says in verse 10 of chapter 7, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. What's she trying to accomplish? She's trying to deceive. And guess what? She's very artful, cunning and crafty with her words. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. What's she trying to do? Ensnare. She's trying to capture and to deceive. And you know what? With her words, she makes it sound so good. I've done all these things. I've had all these things prepared. Come, let us do this, and come, let us do that. It's so subtle. In Psalm 55, David says, God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old. Who do you suppose that is? He that abideth of old. That old devil, the serpent. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Hey, he's slick, folks. He's subtle. More subtle than any beast that God created. In Proverbs chapter 5, Solomon again warns, my son, attend unto my wisdom. Bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as in honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. It's a warning. A warning of the subtlety of the devil. One more, as we kind of end today. We talked about the lies and the subtlety. But I want you to see one more wile of the devil. And of course, this is not the end of the list. Please understand, there's not just three. But if you will, these are the big three, in my opinion. Because they're probably the most underestimated to the Christian. The subtlety of the devil. And the lies of the devil. And then let's look at one more. He's the tempter. And the father of temptation. You know what it means to tempt? It means to incite or solicit to an evil act. Something against God. Something. Anything. What we might consider small or great, the devil is the tempter. To entice to something wrong. By presenting arguments that are plausible or convincing. Or by the offer of some pleasure or apparent advantage as the inducement. So, in his subtlety, when he beguiled Eve, what did he say? Ye shall be as gods. What else did he say? It's good for food. It's pleasant to look upon. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He tempted her. He said, oh, this is so good. It was plausible. It was convincing. It was giving some apparent advantage. And ye shall be as gods. He's the tempter. He's even so proud. And that's another one we could talk about. That he went out into the wilderness and tried to tempt the Son of God. Remember over in Matthew in chapter 4? Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. The devil said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. You understand that God wants us to overcome temptation. We're told in Scripture that God does not tempt any man. In the prayer, in the model prayer, it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. But the Bible tells us that temptation is going to come into our lives, and we need to endure it and overcome it. And God will help us. In 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You say, well, temptations don't bother me. They should. Because the devil knows exactly which buttons to push. He knows exactly which things will cause you to consider departing from God. He knows. But God knows too. And he says, I'll make a way for you to escape. I'll not let you be tempted with anything that you are not able to overcome. Isn't that nice? Oh, it's very comforting. But it doesn't dismiss the fact that he's the tempter. That he knows exactly how to get us, folks. He knows. That's why we have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's why we need to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because it's not a light thing. It's not an easy thing. It's not something to be dismissed. It's not something to be just overlooked and set aside and just say, well, I can handle lies and I can handle subtlety and I can handle temptation. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Be careful. Because if we get to continue this message next week, the next while I'm going to cover is that of pride. We have to be careful. This is not a joke. This is not an easy thing. This is serious. He's seriously an adversary. He's seriously out to get you. And lost person, he's seriously trying to stop your ears and blind your eyes so you do not see the truth of Jesus Christ. He's trying to throw everything at you. All the lies, all the subtlety, and all the temptation to draw you away from finding the truth. He wants to keep you in darkness. And Christian, he's trying to derail you from serving God. He's trying to keep you into following after the lies. Oh, it's not important to do this. It's not important to follow. It's not. Yes, it is. And he's doing it with all subtlety and craftiness. It's very artful. It's very appealing. And it's to a cause and a purpose to try to get you ensnared. It's treacherous. It's purposeful. And he wants to accomplish it. We can't let him. We can't let him. We can't give in. We can't give up. We can't give out. We must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ and stand and withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand.